We started off as just loving harmony, and even a slight bit of humour, and we loved, you know, groups like the Marcells, and vocal groups from America. So we wanted to be like them, doo-wop groups, etc. The Four Seasons came along, and it was just our type of humour, from the Coasters, you know, Yakkity Yak. And we said, let's be like them. So although most of our show is possibly 80% vocal harmony with lots of songs, there's a humour in our show with our parody hit records. Plus, you know, we do songs about Will Camilla Be Queen? What happens to your body when you get old? You know, there is humour in the show, and thank God there is. Keeps us going.
You're still going for it then. Really clever stuff though, isn't it, Pete? This, I mean, who's the brains behind all the writing? Is that you?
What I actually started writing the humour in the band. I wrote "Call Up the Groups" on my mum's kitchen table in 1964.
Really?
And it took me about 20 minutes, not thinking it was going to be a record. It was written for stage, and when we performed it on stage, the audience, because we were doing dance halls in those days, the audience just stopped and they gathered around the stage and they shouted, "Do it again!" And then a guy called Les Perrin, who was the Rolling Stones publicist, said, "You must record it." And we said, "No, it's for the stage." He said, "It's a hit record." So I spent about 3 or 4 months on my knees begging to all the publishers to give us permission to write these parody lyrics to get them passed. And it took a long time. And Dick James, who was the Beatles publisher, said no. So I sent an acetate to, because we'd just finished touring with the Beatles, and I sent an acetate up to Brian Epstein, and I had a lovely, lovely letter back to say that John and Paul had heard it. They've spoke to Dick James, and it's going to be a hit record. And of course, they were right. It sold a million records.
That's lovely. I suppose in today's speak, you could term it as going viral, that call up the groups. But I mean, it was a phenomenal success, wasn't it, in record sales for you?
It was big. What was tough is when EMI said, "We want another one like that," and we said, "Well, can't we do a straight one?" They said, "No, your image is humour. You have to do another one." So that's when Butch came in, and Butch, all of a sudden, you realised what a great mind he had for humour, and he wrote some lovely, lovely lines, and so the two of us together wrote "Pop Go the Workers," which was again another hit. And what happened is we lost our record contract with EMI in 1971, and it wasn't until 77 that Butch and I sat on a rock in Tenby, and we wrote another load of parodies, and we went to CBS Records, and a guy called Dan Loggins, which was Kenny Loggins's brother.
Oh, right.
He said, we want to release it. And I said, "You can't. It's a demo. And it costs us £175.
Oh,
He said,
gosh.
Peter, it's got atmosphere. It sounds great. We're gonna release it." So he said, "Look, if that's what you want to do, you do." And I think we sold probably 11 million records with CBS.
That's
Not with that
fantastic.
one song, but,
No.
you know, they put us all over the world. So that's why we've toured the world with the guitars round our necks, enjoying every moment. And thank goodness we did.
Yeah. Pete Langford, my guest from the Barren Nights this afternoon. I've really been looking forward to this chat, Pete. And you were no wallflowers. I mean, what, over 300 shows at the London Palladium, a performance at Buckingham Palace, touring all over the place, as you say.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't know that we actually hold the record for the most shows at the Palladium. And, you know, it was nice to do shows at Buckingham Palace and at the Albert Hall. Although we've done two or three shows there, the last one was an actual tribute night for Lonnie Donegan.
Oh, tremendous.
And there was people like Van Morrison and Mark Knopfler, Joe Brown, Chas and Dave, us. And all we had to do was sing one of Lonnie's songs. And we thought, God, he's got so many great songs he recorded. I hope they tell us to do one of the good ones.
Yeah.
And the director come up and said, "Oh, Barren Nights, thank you for coming. Tonight you're going to sing 'Does Your Chewing Gum Lose Its Flavour on the Bedpost Overnight'" Which we did.
Listen, it's a much publicised fact. Is there any truth in this one, that you inspired Bill Wyman, not you personally, well, maybe you personally, you inspired Bill Wyman to buy a guitar back in 61?
Yeah, well, Mary, his sister, used to come to the Grosvenor Ballroom in Aylesbury, and she said, "You've got to come and see this band called the Barren Nights." So he did, and he went home and decided he was going to buy a guitar because he actually loved the sound. And about 3 years ago, I have a charity where I get a guitar and I get it signed by people who I've worked with. And I was running out of people. We've had, you know, Paul McCartney, Mark Knopfler and Eric Clapton. They'd all signed my guitar. And I thought, oh, I'll give Bill a ring. And he said, bring the guitar down to the office, his office in King's Road. Knocked on the door. Secretary said, he's upstairs. He's sitting on his couch. Well, there he was in this great big long leather couch. He went, hello, Pete. He said, you changed my life. That was it. That wasn't, hello, how are you, mate? You know. And he was a lovely guy, a lovely warm character, is Bill.
Yeah. We're looking forward to seeing you in Skeg at the weekend, Pete. What have you got for us? What sort of show are you putting on?
Well, we've called the show for the last 2 years Soundtrack of Our Lives because we wanted, because we've been touring around the theatres for years and years and years, we thought we had to do a change of material and show. It's been proved, you know, very, very successful. And the comments we get is, you know, you bring back so many happy memories. And I think it's the songs that we do now. Obviously, we do our hits. I sit down and play flamenco and we play some classical music as well. But we sing a lot of songs that were big hits when we were youngsters, late 50s, early 60s. And people just sing along to every word. It's such a lovely feeling to see everybody enjoy all the songs. Well, there's one song we do called To Know Her Is, you know that song, To Know, No, yeah. Know Her Is a Love, Love, Love. When we start singing it, you see husbands and wives looking at each other and they start cuddling up.
Oh.
And you think, I wonder what they were doing when they first heard that song, you know. Probably the bicycle shed somewhere.
Yeah. If you could just sum it all up, Pete. It's been a great career for you, hasn't it? I mean, you've seen some great times, met some great people. Any one standout moment for you?
I think touring with the Beatles was a bit special for us. It really, really was, because at the time we didn't realise it was going to be such a extended music going up to now, where they're still playing, you know, great songs that they wrote. And then we did two tours with the Rolling Stones, which was great. But I think touring with the Beatles was the magic moment for the Baronites. It lifted our career and never to be forgotten.